Today's shiur is Daf Pei Hei. We're going to begin on the last words on Daf Pei Dalet Amud Beis. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel Bar Shebein Shtei Chatzeres, which is diagram 287 on page 96. We have here the following situation. We have here a bar, a well of water that is between two chatzeres. However, as the picture shows, this bar doesn't actually reach each side. There's a space between the wall and the bar. And the Gemara says, "Mefleges mekaisel ze'arba." Its distance is from one side four tefachim, or mekaisel ze'arba, and from the other wall it has a distance of four tefachim. So says the Gemara, "Mighty zis kalshu umemali." This, each one of these chatzeris, if they want to be able to use this well, has to have a ziz, as we see in the picture, a stick, pillar, come out of the wall. So as Rashi explains, if the bar would actually reach the walls, which is actually diagram 291 to a degree, and we'll talk about that more tomorrow. So we'll learn tomorrow what the halacha is when there's a bar shared by two chatzeres. Here the issue is that the bar doesn't quite reach the wall. We have this distance of four tefachim. So the halacha, the question is, if they both want to use the bar, and obviously we're talking in a situation where the two sides did not make an Erev together. Had they made an Erev together, it wouldn't be an issue. So says Rabbi Yehuda that each one of them has to construct the ziz, and by constructing the ziz, it will serve as a hecker, would serve as a reminder, and we'll explain that also, why they can then use this bar. Rabbi Yehuda, the day Amma, Rabbi Yehuda says, you don't have to have a ziz, I feel a kanya. Kanya means a piece of straw. So the machlokes rishonim, what is the difference between a ziz and a kanya? Rashi seems to learn that the difference between ziz and a kanya is that a ziz is more of a solid material, it's a piece of wood. And a kanya is more flimsy, it's a piece of straw. Other rishonim learn that a ziz is a tefach, and a kanya doesn't even have to be a tefach wide. But it's a very interesting rajba. The rajba says, what's going to be the halacha if instead of using a ziz, which is only a tefach, you went and you took a whole platform, four tefachim wide, you took a nice platform, what would be the halacha? So, we would think, gewaldig. He didn't just use a small ziz, he actually used a platform. It's more of a hecker, it's more of a reminder. Says the Rajba that if you do that, it'll make it worse. Because if you use a significant board, then it's not a hecker. People will think it's just an extension of the windowsill. So you specifically have to use something which is distinct and doesn't look like an extension. And not a machlokes is, what do you have to use? A ziz or a kanya? What is the basis for this requirement? So the sugya we're going to learn is the sugya of Adam Oysa Derech Avir. If to gain access to an area, you have to go over airspace. Here we have to go over the airspace between the bar and the wall. Is that a factor in halacha? And obviously, these man the amrim that require us to do something to the wall, whether it's a ziz or a kanya, we hold that avir is a factor that has to be contended with. Now it's very interesting how the Gemara goes according to Rashi. According to Rashi, the Gemara begins with Amar Rav Yehuda, but not the way we have it, Amar Shmuel, that Rav Yehuda set his din in the name of Shmuel. Rather, we have Rav Yehuda saying the halacha. But we know from throughout Shas that Rav Yehuda was a Talmud both of Shmuel and Rav. And therefore we assume, explained the Rishonim, that when Rav Yehuda is telling us a halacha, he must be saying it in the name of either Rav or Shmuel. Says the Gemara, Amalei Bayil Rav Yosef, so Abayi tells Rav Yosef, Hod Rav Yehuda, this thing Rav Yehuda just taught us, to Shmuel he. Must be something that he learned from Shmuel. D, the Rav, because if he was going according to Rav, Ha'amar, according to Rav, Ein Adam Oysel Chaveru Dairich Avir. According to Rav, and the Gemara is going to cite a source for it, Rav is not concerned about Dairich Avir. So if this need to make the Ziz or the Kanye is because we're concerned about Derech Avir, it must be according to the Man D'Omer that holds Derech Avir is a factor. And now we're saying that who's that Man D'Omer that Rabbi Yehuda learned it from? He learned it from Shmuel. Ask the Gemara, the Shmuel Mehecha, where do we see that Shmuel is concerned with Derech Avir? Says the Gemara, Ilayim Meha, perhaps from the last case we discussed in yesterday's Shia. D'Omer Rav Nachman Omer Shmuel, this is diagram 286. We spoke about the case where there was a roof that was right next to Rishus Rabim. If there's a permanent ladder between the roof and the upper floors, there the halacha is that you could carry on the roof. Without that permanent ladder, we said that you can't carry on the roof because it's exposed to the Rishus Rabim. Now, the way the Gemara learns in the Havamina, both Rashi and Tosfos explain, is that this roof, in diagram 286, had pillars. Rashi uses the word chifufei. It had such protrusions up along the wall that exist between the Gag and Rishus HaRabim. So if the people in Rishus HaRabim want to use the Gag, how could they use it? It has to be through Derech Avir. They have to throw it over those protrusions. Yet Shmuel is concerned with this Gag and tells us that if we won't have the Sulam Kavua between it and the Aliyah, we can't carry on the Gag. So we see that according to Shmuel, throwing over Avir is an issue. That's the proof that Shmuel holds Avir is an issue. Says the Gemara, Dilma Kad Rapapa. When we explained the Gemara yesterday, it was the last Gemara we learned, Rapapa, and this is shown in diagram 286, says there are no protrusions. So if there are no protrusions, why is there an issue? As the picture shows, since people from the Rishus HaRabim easily and regularly use the Gag to put down their packages, to put down their hats and coats and whatnot, that's why it's an issue. But it has nothing to do with throwing, because there are no protrusions. So there's no proof from this. El Maha, from another Gemara that we learned. That we didn't learn yet. Zeh Shmuel tells us, that Shmuel tells us that when you have a situation as we began today's shir, where you have the two chatzeres with the bar dalet tfachim away, tells us the Shmuel, each one of the chatzeres has to build this ziz, build coming out of his chatzer. Zem moitzi ziz kol shum emale. Tam the apik, only because they built these zizim, that's why the halacha is that they could carry, that they could use the bar and carry from it to the chatzeris. Haloy apik, amin adam ois al chaveroi derech avir. Now explains Rashi. So according to Shmuel, it's very obvious that he holds adam ois al derech avir. What was the question that Abaye asked Rabbi Yosef? Abaye asked Rabbi Yosef a question. What was the question? So Rashi says, now the question was a different question. The question wasn't what Shmuel holds about derech avir. We know what Shmuel holds derech avir. The question was, did Shmuel require a ziz? And Rabbi Yehuda is arguing in Shmuel and telling us that although Shmuel requires a ziz, I say a kanya, a piece of straw, is enough. Or is what Rabbi Yehuda is saying just an explanation of what Shmuel said? Shmuel said use a ziz, comes along Rabbi Yehuda and he says it doesn't necessarily have to be a ziz. If it's a kanya, it's going to be good enough. Now we said that Rav, we explained on top of the Amid, is not concerned with Derech Avir. Ask the Gemara, or the Rav Mihecha, from where do we know the Rav is not concerned with Avir? Ilem Miho. Maybe it's from this Gemara. We learned yesterday, Gemara, this is diagram 284. Shteg Zustra Zulam Alamazu, you have these two balconies over the ocean, over the Yam, that we explained yesterday, that you have a problem about carrying directly from the Yam to the balcony, because the Yam is a Carmelis and the balcony is a Rishus HaYochid. But we also explained yesterday that Chazal said that if you build around the balcony this box, which is dalad by dalad, then you can schlep up the water through that contraption. And then we spoke about a case, shtei gzustra zulam al mazu, if you have these two balconies, one above the other, asa mechitzla yoyna, and the upper one has this contraption built. V'lo'asa mechitzla tachtona, and the bottom one doesn't. And like we explained yesterday, but the bottom one has partnership. In the upper balcony, shtei masuris, so you can't, neither, even the upper balcony will not be allowed to use the contraption at shiarvu, unless they make an eruv. V'amar Rav Huna marav. Rav Huna, Rav said, Loishanu, when is there a concern? El besmucha, if these two balconies are very close to each other. Ava mufleges arba, if they're separated from each other by arba tfachim, el yoinu muteris, then they're considered separate, and the upper balcony can use its contraption, v'tachtoina surah, and the bottom one can't. Now what's the reason? It's the Gemara's learning. That if they're separated by more than four tefachim, so how can you get to it? You could get to it through throwing. But Rav is telling us that throwing doesn't make a difference, because Darach Avir is irrelevant. So here we have a proof that according to Rav, Darach Avir is nothing. Says the Gemara, Dilma Shani Hacha. The reason why if they're distanced from each other, four tefachim, there is no problem, is the kivin del zeb zrik of a shloshol. If the lower one requires first to throw it up and then to lower it down, ula zeb shloshol, whereas the upper one only requires if it were to be lowered down, ula shloshol uchadei, it has the status, something else that we spoke about, kel zeb zrik ul zeb pesach, that when you ever have an area, that one area could only access it by throwing, another area could access it easily, just like a door. We say that that area belongs to the place that can access it through a door. Says Rav that if you have a distance of four tefachim, this contraption is so much more accessible to the upper balcony and so much less accessible to the bottom balcony that we attribute it strictly to the upper balcony, but it has nothing to do with Derech Avir. Now the Rishonim explained the Gemara this way. Rav is the man the Omer that just yesterday taught us that Lezeb is Rika, Ulezeb is Shulshul, that if one has access only through throwing and one has access through going down, that Rav says that they're considered equal. And that's why Rav said that when you have such a situation, they consider it with equal access. Why now, all of a sudden, according to Rav, is that an issue? So we explained yesterday Rabbi Kiva Eger, and according to the explanation of Kiva Eger, this Gemara makes a lot of sense. What did we say? We said that Rabbi Kiva Eger told us the Rav isn't arguing on the facts. The facts are that Shilshul is considered more accessible than Zrika. That's a fact. It's easier to throw something down than to throw something up. What did Rav say? So if that's the fact, why does Rav say that when you have a situation, Zeb is Shulshul, Zeb is Rika, they're considered equal? So he said, since both of them are difficult, so it's only a difference of degree which is harder. So Rav doesn't make a difference. He says, if it's such an insignificant difference, they're considered equal. But that doesn't mean, explained the Rishonim and Achroidim, the Rav doesn't subscribe that when you have a situation that the two areas are very different, and one is certainly a lot easier access than the other, Rav will certainly agree, we go to the area that's a lot easier access. Now let's look at this case. If we have a situation with the two balconies, one is lower and four tefachim or more away from the other one, so for the people on the lower balcony to access the spacks on their upper balcony, they have to have three motions. They have to have a motion of going upwards, they have to have a motion of going laterally to cover the distance, and then they have to have a motion of going shilshul, going down. The people on the upper balcony, how many motions do they need? They only need one motion, going down. Rav agrees that when you're faced with a situation with such a significant difference, three motions versus one motion,
certainly you're going to give it to the area that has only one motion. And that's why in this that's why when there's distance by four tefachim, does Rav attribute it to the upper balcony. But it has nothing to do with Derech Avia. So we're back to where we started. The Gemara said on top of the Amid, the Rav certainly doesn't hold of Derech Avia. Where do we see it from? Says the Gemara, from this halacha. El Maha. Gamar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avua, Amar Rav. This is diagram 288. Shnei Batim, you have two houses, V'sholosh Churvas B'neim, and there are three Churvas, three runes in between them. Zem Mishtamish B'samach Eloi Ayidei Zriko. This one, the one on the right house, could use the Churva next to it. V'zem Mishtamish B'samach Eloi Ayidei Zriko. And the one in the middle, and the next to it also uses, could use it. V'em Tsoi, and the middle Churva also. Now let's try to understand this case. And we need to really analyze this diagram. Firstly, as is shown in the diagram, there are no doors between the house and the churva. They're just windows. There are no doors between the house and the churva. Number one. Number two, the churva, Rashi explains, is an area that's owned by, either it's not owned by anyone, it's Hefker, or it's owned by the people that live in the Chatzar. Why? Very important explanation, right? Tosfos speaks about this a lot. Because Tosfos explains, were this Churva owned by someone that's not from this house, and even if the person is not here for Shabbos, which we're going to learn also tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem in the Mishnah, that if somebody's not here for Shabbos, certainly under certain circumstances, he doesn't require to join in the Erev, which means, let's explain that halacha, it's very relevant, halacha l'maisa. Let's say someone lives in a two-family house and your neighbor is not home for Shabbos, so you have common areas, you have the hall, you have the steps, and to be able to carry in those common areas, you need to make an Erev. Let's say he's not home for Shabbos. You know he's not home for Shabbos, he went to Israel. So the halacha is that you don't have to make an Erev. But only means that now I who am home will be able to carry in the common areas even though I don't have an area with my neighbor. But let's say my neighbor left me a key. Will I be able to carry from my house to his house? The halacha is no. Because his absence only helps me for the common areas. His absence doesn't allow me to carry into his apartment. Therefore, Rashi has to explain that if this churva is owned by another party, even if he's not here, but if I didn't make an erev with him, I can never carry into this churva. So that's why Rashi says that this churva is either owned by the people in the houses who don't need to make an erev, or it's not owned by anyone. So now, let's try to understand this situation further. What are we saying? That although the side people could use each one his could use the churva next to his house, the middle churva can't be used by anybody. Now the question is, why can't the middle churva be used by anybody? The only way you could get from your house to the middle churva is through Avra, is by throwing. Right? There's no door, you have to throw. And we're saying the Rav holds that throwing isn't an issue. Says the Gemara, Yasser Abruna v'kam l'ha shmaitza. So Rav Bruna was sitting and learning this Gemara. Amalei Rav Elezer, Babari Rav. So Rav Elezer said to him, Amar Rav Hachi, is this a din that Rav said? Amalei in. This is what Rav taught us. So he said, Ach v'lei Yishpiza. Show me his in, where he's staying. I want to go talk to him about it. Ach v'lei, so he showed it to him. Asal kamei de Rav, and he came to Rav. Amalei Amar Hachi, did you say this? Amalei in. So he said yes. That if one area I could get with throwing and one area I could get easy, it's still Osir. Even though, because I was explaining, since Shulshul and Zrika, according to Rav, are not that significant. So now let's understand this area, this situation. Let's look at the person on the right. The person on the right, yes, to the Churva right next to him, he could get there B'Shulshul. But the Churva further from him, all the way to the left, he could get through Bezrika. He'll throw from his to the Churva. So why should Rav say that's mutter? Why does Rav
look at this picture as if this churva belongs, the right churva belongs completely to the house on the right, and the left churva belongs completely to the house on the left, what Rav should really say is, since I'm living in the right house, have access to here, b'shilshul, to the churva right next to me, and I have access to the most left one, zrika, and the same thing goes for the one on the left, that the churva next to him, he has shilshul, and the further churva, he has zrika, so that should restrict each other. Because according to Rav, shilshul and zrika are considered equal. Amalei, so he said, you're right. Mi savris, the kaim of b'shura, do you think that the picture is like diagram 288? Loi, the kaim of chatzuva. Here, the picture is like diagram 289. Since it's like 289, let's understand what's the difference between 288 and 289. In 288 and 289, the churva, the middle churva, is not in the middle. It's behind. So this one is right, the one on the right is right next to me. So it's Lezebe Pesach. The left one is right next to me, it's Lezebe Pesach. So it's much more accessible to me, and that's why those are mutter, and the other one is asur. Now the Rishonim ask a very fundamental question as we leave this Gemara. And that is, why aren't these churvas asur? Even if we're going to explain that the churvas, each churva, the one on the right is more accessible to the right, and the one on the left is more accessible to the left, but we're saying that the back churva is asur to both of us. We've learned the halacha many times that if an area is open to an area where it's asur, so not only does it restrict its own area, it restricts all places to which it's open to. So given that these two churvas are open to a churva which is asur, that should affect and make that we shouldn't be even allowed to carry these churvas. So the Rishonim answer that halacha, that if an area that's mutter is open to an area which is asur, that the area which is asur affects it, is only if the area that's asur has a significant use. Let's say it's open to Rishos HaRabim, it's open to Rishos HaYochid, places that people frequent and use. But if it's open to an area like a churva, what's the definition of a churva? The definition of a churva is a ruin. It's an area that's not really used, that doesn't have any influence. Given that these two areas are open to there, that's why. Now let's just explain. So now what's Rav telling us? That although Rav is telling us that each one of us can use the chatzar next to us, even though we have the ability to throw to the chatzar not next to us, we don't count. That doesn't make a difference. So we see that according to Rav, derech avir is not significant. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Papa L'Rava, Leim Shmuel Esleid Rav Dimi. If according to Shmuel we're explaining that derech avir is significant, should we say that Shmuel won't agree with halacha that Rav Dimi says? And this is a halacha that we've learned many times. The Chas Rav Dimi Am Rav Yochanan. Makom she'ein bo dalet al dalet. Let's say you have a place that doesn't have the dimensions of a dalet al dalet. So we explained that a place that doesn't have the dimensions of a dalet al dalet has the din of a makom p'tor. So the halacha is mutl b'nei Rishus Rabim u'b'nei Rishus Yochid l'kasef alav. So if I'm going from Rishus Rabim, I could put my item on it, and then if I'm going from Rishus Yochid, I could put an item on it. I didn't do anything wrong. Taking from Rishus Rabim to makom p'tor, or taking from Rishus Yochid to makom p'tor, is not a problem. Evlat sheyach lo yachlifu. What you can't do is go from Rishus Rabim, put it on the makom p'tor, and then go from the makom p'tor to Rishus Yochid. Says Rashi that a makom p'tor is the same as avir. Avir is also nothing. It's not a makom. Yet Shmuel told us that when it goes through a makom avir, it's a consideration. And Rav Dimi is telling us when it goes through a makom p'tor, I don't have to be worried. Why? Why is the avir? Why if Shmuel holds avir as a consideration, makom p'tor is the avir. Yet here Rav Dimi says I'm not worried about the makom p'tor. So we see that obviously Shmuel doesn't agree with Rav Dimi. Answer the Gemara, it's not the same. There we're dealing with a situation that I'm carrying from Mishas Yochid to Mokom Tor to Mishas Rabin. If somebody's going to make an error and he's going to go direct, nobody's going to make that error. What's the error? The error is a question of life and death. He's going from Mishas Yochid to Mishas Rabin. It's a Malacha Dereisa. Here, we go back to the first situation that we had, picture 287. If somebody's going to carry from his house into the bar, right? He goes through the avir.
will be a deraisa. It's not a deraisa. It's going from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaYochid. So since we're not dealing with an issue of perhaps being over deraisa, Chacham, we explained this also. Chacham also chizuk divrei Yosef Mishal Torah. Chazal felt that they need to make more of a safeguard here because you could come to making a mistake very easily. And this is the halach lemaisa that you can't carry from Rishus HaYochid, put it on Makom Patur, and go to the Rishus HaRabim. However, I saw a very interesting shaila. Shevet Alevi discusses this shaila. What's going to be the halacha like this? Shabbos, you walked out of your house and you realize that you're carrying something. So what are you supposed to do? The first thing you're supposed to do is not stop. Because if you stopped, you went from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. So there are a few options. The best option probably is just to keep on walking right back to your house, and you will accomplish nothing. But let's say that's not doable. You realize you're 10 blocks away, you can't walk back home for whatever reason. So the etzah that they give is to find a place which is a makom patur. If it's a makom patur, you'll be carrying from Rishus HaYochid to makom patur. Now the question is, okay, I'm carrying my keys. I realize I carried my keys. I walk from the Rishus HaYochid, I put it down in the makom patur. Now, if you learn the Gemara, you're not supposed to carry it now from the makom patur to Rishus HaRabim, right? You can't pick it up. Says the Shevet HaLevi, perhaps you're allowed to. Why? He says, maybe this Gemara of Dimi said that you're not allowed to go from Rishus HaYochid to makom patur to Rishus HaRabim is only when somebody is carrying intentionally. And what the Gemara is telling us is that you should not intentionally use a makom patur as a way of being able to carry from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. Because we're concerned, Shayyala Yechlifu, that if you're going to use that as a way of carrying from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, you may accidentally skip the most important step of putting it down in the makom patur. But that's only when you're specifically trying to get from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. This person who walked out carrying something in his pocket, he didn't go out carrying it intentionally. And his putting it down in the makom patur is not, his goal is not to use it as a method of carrying from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. His goal is because he doesn't want to be over carrying on Shabbos. And maybe then you can then pick it up and carry it further. Perhaps. On the other hand, it really depends on what you say Pufat Shlo Yechlifu means. If Shanan Lo Shlo Yechlifu means that I shouldn't come to use it as a way of carrying from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, so maybe here I don't have to make such a gzeir because I didn't do it intentionally. But if Pshat B'lat Shlo Yechlifu means that I shouldn't do it, that people shouldn't think, look, he's carrying from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, then it makes no difference that I did it intentionally or not intentionally. The people seeing me see that I'm L'maisa carrying from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. Ask the Gemara another question. Amalei Ravina L'Rava. Mi Amar Rav Hachi. The Ravs say that Avi isn't a factor. Vitma. Shnei batim shnei tzidei Rishus HaRabim. We have two houses on two sides of Rishus HaRabim. Rabbi Rafun Amar Rav. Rabbi Rafun Amar Rav says, Osa Lizuk Mezeh Mezeh. You now have to throw from one house on Rishus HaYochid to the other house on the other side. B'shmul Amar Mutar. Lizuk Mezeh Mezeh. Now, why is Rav saying now Aru? Because you're going through a Derech Avir. So what do you see that according to Rav, Avir is a factor? And we just finished saying that according to Rav, Avir is not a factor. Now, Tosfos and Rashi both point out, we could have also asked a question on Shmuel. Till now, we're saying for the last omen and a half that Shmuel holds, Avir is an issue. Yet here, Shmuel tells us that Avir is not an issue. And that's why Shmuel says I could throw from one house to the other house across the street if I own both houses. Why? Why didn't the Gemara ask a question on Shmuel? So Rashi and Tosfos says the Gemara could have asked the question in Shmuel. But on Shmuel we already know the answer. Shmuel is going to tell us there's a difference when you're going from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, whereas when you're going from Rishus HaYochid straight to Rishus HaYochid. There Chazal needed to make a gzeira, here Chazal did not make a gzeira. So when you're going from Rishus HaYochid over Rishus HaRabim to another Rishus HaYochid, we already know what Shmuel is going to answer. That's why the Gemara chose to ask the question on Rav. So now the question is, why according to Rav are you not allowed to throw from one house, from one Rishus HaYochid that's on one side of the street, to the other house on the other side? Again, you own both, otherwise you have a problem with an Erev. Just because you're going over the Avir Rishus HaRabim, we just finished proving that according to Rav, Avir is not a factor. Amalei, so he said, Lav mi kimna, then we explained this Gemara already in Masech the Shabbos, the Midli Chad and Michti Chad, Zimna the Migdav and Nof of Asla Suyi. We're not speaking, says the Gemara, where the two houses are exactly same height. Now, let's say both houses have flat roofs
and they're both exact height, and to throw from one to the other is easy, and anybody could do it. What happened here is that one house is lower than the other. This is the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara. And I'm throwing it in an upward motion. I'm throwing it from the lower house, from the roof of the lower house, to the roof of the higher house. Now, not everybody, you're going against gravity. And not everybody could do that, that'll hit. So what's going to happen? You're going to try to throw it from the lower house. You're going to throw it to the higher house, but it won't make it. So what's going to happen? It's going to fall down in Rosh Hashanah. But you wanted to get it to the other house. So what are you going to do? You're going to pick it up from the street and carry it to your house, which will be carrying from Shusram to Shusayachit. Now, the Rishonim make a few points. If I threw it directly from the lower house to the higher house, and then I just couldn't make it to the upper house, and it just fell down in the Rosh Hashanah, nothing wrong happened. Why did nothing wrong happen? Because it wasn't even a shagig. It's a misasik. So that's not what Chazal made the gzeirah about. What Chazal made the gzeirah was only when I threw it, I'm worried that after it falls down, then in my anxiety to get it to the other house, I'm going to forget myself and pick it up and carry it. That will be a shagig. Now, the Rishonim also make a point. It'll make a difference what you're throwing. If you're throwing something that if it falls, it'll break. It won't break. So that's why Chazal made the gzeira. But let's say you're throwing a china dish. Probably wouldn't be a smart thing to do anyway. But let's say you have a lot of confidence in your skill, and you throw a china dish, there wouldn't be a problem. Because if you make it, you didn't do anything wrong. If you don't make it, it'll break anyway. So there's no reason to make a gzeira. And they also speak, if the two houses are the same height, then there's no reason to make a gzeira. Now the question is, what's going to be the halacha if the two houses are the same height, but they don't have flat roofs? They have slanty roofs. So it's not so easy to stand on a slanty roof and throw right across the street that it should hit another slanty roof. What will be the din? Is it considered like they're both the same height and it's mutter, or is it considered not like the same height and it's asur? Says the Mishnah, Hanoisin Saruva Beis Shar, if somebody puts his Erev in a gatehouse, or Mepeses, or in the porch, Eino Erev. The Erev is not a good Erev. Vador Sham, if somebody lives in one of those structures, Eino Oysalov. He's not considered that he's a neighbor here, that his being here makes him required to join in the Erev, and if he doesn't join in the Erev, as we've learned so many times, the Erev will be disqualified. Beis HaTeven, but let's say in the house where the straw is left, and Tosfos goes into the whole discussion, do you have to actually have the straw there, or is it the fact that it could be used for straw enough? Or Beis HaBakar is where animals are kept. Beis Eitzim is where the wood is kept. Beis Oitzim is a storehouse. Hareza Erev, that's considered a place of dwelling. Vadarsham, and if you have somebody living in one of these houses, Oiser, he will affect the house. Now before we go further, the halacha is like this. An Erev Chatzeris has to be left in one of the houses. A shit of mavos doesn't have to be left in one of the houses, but it can't be left, as we're going to learn, in the mavui. It has to be left in the chotzer. And as a machloikas Rashi and Tosfos, when we say it has to be left in the chotzer, does it mean it has to be in the chotzer but not in one of the houses of the chotzer, or does it have to be, or could it be left in one of the houses? Rashi says it could even be left in one of the houses. Tosfos says if it has to be left in the chotzer, but not in one of the houses. Shulchan Aruch paskens like Rashi, that it could be left in one of the houses. It doesn't have to be left in the chotzer. In fact, the halacha is that the Erev has to be left in one of the houses. The minig was that they always used to leave the Erev in the shul. And the Achroinim all discuss, how could you leave an Erev in the shul? The shul is not one of the places where you live, and you have to live an Erev in one of the shul in where you live. So they explain, and we once said this here, I think, that the smarter thing to do is not make it as an Erev Chatzeris, to really make it as a Shit of Mavos. And if you make it as a Shit of Mavos, what you've accomplished is that the Shit of Mavos, we pass like the Chachamim, that if you have a Shit of Mavos, you don't have to have an Erev Chatzeris. So now explains the Ramah. You don't have to have a Mavi. You can have a Shittim Mavos without a Mavi.
You just have to have in mind that you're doing it as a shittu pavaz. So if you leave it in the shoe, so it may not work for a Rebbe Chatzeris, but it could work as a shittu pavaz. Others explain that since people may live in the shul, there are guests that live in the shul, there are rooms in the shul that are not only used for living, that's why it's okay. It's interesting, Shaila was asked in Hungary when they started having conservative and reform movement began, and the question was asked if you're allowed to leave an Erev in a reform temple, because the Gedolei Yisrael at that time said that an Orthodox Jew should not go into a reform temple, because that was when they were starting, they didn't want to give them any authority. So if they said, if you're going to leave the Erev Chatzeris in one of those temples, you're not allowed to go in there. If you can't go in there, if you don't have access to the Erev Chatzeris, then your Erev Chatzeris is not a valid Erev Chatzeris. There's another interesting shaila. What's the halacha if you have a sukkah in a chatzar? So does the sukkah require to join in the Erev Chatzeris? So some mefarshim want to say that it really depends. Is a sukkah diris arai or diris kva? It's machlokas tanoim. According to the man d'omim that say it's a diris kva, it's a permanent structure, so they have to join. According to the man d'omim that say it's only diris arai, they don't have to join. But many achroinim say that even if you hold diris arai means that it's a temporary place, but it's the place that you have to live for sukkahs. So since you have to live there for sukkahs, you have to join. It's a very relevant shaila, because let's say you have people that don't have where to make the sukkah. So you rent them, or you give them permission to build a sukkah in a courtyard, and they're not part of your Erev Chatzeris all year. They don't live here all year, but now they are people here, and they weren't included in the original Erev Chatzeris. You would have to make a new Erev Chatzeris, an Erev Sukkahs. Says the Mishnah further, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im yesh sham tfisas yad shel bal habayis, if the owner of a house still has rights in one of the apartments, ain't a oiser, then he doesn't affect the apartment, then the old apartments don't have a problem, because since the owner, the landlord, still has rights, that changes the entire picture. It's considered like all the apartments are his, and there's no need to make an Erev. Now, we pass him like Rabbi Yehuda. It's a very important part of the heter that we have for not needing to make Erev Chatzeris, because if the landlord has rights, then it changes everything. There's a machloikas rishonim if Rabbi Yehuda is arguing on the Tanakhama, and we plaskin like Rabbi Yehuda, or is pshat that Rabbi Yehuda is not really arguing, Rabbi Yehuda is explaining, and therefore everybody agrees with Rabbi Yehuda. Again, la'aloch l'mais, it's not relevant because we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Where is this relevant? Because la'aloch, if let's say somebody owns an apartment house, and if he leaves his personal belongings in the house of the people that are in the house, then certainly no question, there's no need for Eruv Chatzeris. Where is the question? The question is, let's say he puts their refrigerator, and he has a refrigerator, oven, appliances. The landlord supplies the appliances, but they belong to the landlord. So does that mean that the landlord has something in every apartment? And if the landlord has something in every apartment, there's no need to make Eruv Chatzeris. So it's a machlokes, Rav Moshe versus the Chazon Ish and the Chalkas Yaakov. Rav Moshe says, yes, if the landlord has in every apartment some appliances, refrigerator, oven, whatever, so now he has tefisas yad in every apartment, and it's something that won't be carried out on Shabbos, because the Gemara is going to say tomorrow that it has to be something that won't be removed on Shabbos, and it's fine. The Chalkas Yaakov and Chazon Ish disagree with Rav Moshe, because they say, when you rent an apartment, the apartment is not yours, you rented it away, otherwise there wouldn't be a question. So you're not only renting the apartment, you're also renting the appliances. That's part of the rental deal, that I rent the apartment plus the appliances. So therefore, just like the apartment is no longer mine, the appliances are no longer mine, and it's not considered that I have tefisas yad in the houses. Now the Rishonim also say, what's going to be the halacha regarding goyim? Do we say this heter of tefisas yad by goyim? That means, we go back to what we learned previously, that if a guy is a neighbor, he can't join in the Erev, and we have to lease his apartment from him in order to be able to carry. But let's say I'm a Jewish landlord, and I have non-Jewish tenants. Let's say we're going to pass on like Rav Moshe, that leaving appliances is called tefisas yad, and I have in every one of the apartments some appliances. So according to that, I shouldn't have to go through a bother, which, as we learned so many times in this Masechta, there were many situations where the goyim didn't want to lease the apartments. I don't have a problem, I just have something in every apartment. So the Rishonim say that this Eitzah that Rabbi Yehuda is saying about Tfisas Yad is only by Jews. But by goyim, it's not relevant. Why? They say a beautiful pshat. We explain why did we have to go through leasing by goyim, rather just having them join in the Erev, because we want to discourage Jews living from goyim. Tfisas Yad is the opposite of that. And certainly, Chazal would not have been makel just with Tfisas Yad by goyim. Begins the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Bereda Shmu Bashelis. Kamak Madosham in Oyser. Wherever we said that person living in an area is not considered that he's living a resident here and his being here doesn't have an effect, halacha is hanois and saruvai, if you put your erev in such a place, ain't an erev. Chutz and beishad yochid. Let's say you have a gatehouse, but it's a gatehouse to a house, to one family house. That there the halacha is that you could put the erev there. And the mafarshim explained, what's the problem with a gatehouse? The problem with a gatehouse is it's not a private area. Everybody walks through the gatehouse. But if it's a gatehouse for one family, so it's more private, and therefore you could put your erev there. Become akoyim shama chachama ein menichem ba'erev. Wherever Chazal said you can't put an erev, menichem ba'shutuf. You can leave shutuf because we explained shutuf mevois don't have to be put in the house. They can be left in the chotzer. Chutz mi aver ma'avi. You can't leave the shutuf mevois outside in the mavi. Ask the Gemara, my kamashmal. What are Yehuda teaching us? Tanina. We learned this. Hanoisin es aruvay, the beishar achsadim apesis, ain't a erif. So we learn, erif hu delay havi, it's not a qualified space to put the erif, ha havi shittif havi, it is a qualified place to put shittif. Answers the Gemara, what he's teaching us is beishar de yochid, the first halacha that we learned, that even though a beishar you can't put an erif, but if it's a beishar de yochid, you may. And another thing that he's teaching us is for avid the mavi that you're not allowed to put the mavi shtufim voice in the mavi itzchalei the loytanan that we didn't learn in the Mishnah. Tanya nami hochi hanoisin saruvoi beishar echsadri. If somebody's really interested in seeing how they look, you can look at diagram 290. It'll show you what a beishar is and what echsadri is. Or mepesis is a gallery. We spoke about it a lot. Or bechotzum mavi hareza erif. That it's qualified to be Erev. But Tanan, for Astamar Ains Erev, you have to put the Erev in the house. So how could you, the Erev, when it's left out in one of these areas, be kosher? Ema Hareza Shittif. For Shittif Mavos, it's qualified. Shittif B'movi Loi Minter. Ask the Gemara, you can't leave the Shittif in the Movi itself. It's not going to be protected. Ema answered the Gemara, but Chotzer Shemovi, you could put it in the Chotzer of the Movi, and that's considered not protected. Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmul. B'nei Chabura Sheyim Subim. You have a group of people that were, all the neighbors were sitting together eating Friday afternoon. The Kiddush Loim Hayoim, and it becomes Shabbos, and they need to make Erev Chatzeres. Pashal Shulchan, the bread that's on the table, Samchem Alei Mishum Erev. They could rely on it for an Erev Chatzeres. Ramalei Mishum Shittim, some say can be used for Shittim and Vars. Am Rav, there's no Machlaikis. Kam Mishum Vais, if they're in their house, so we said that the Erev Chatzeres has to be left in the house, so it could be relied for Erev Chatzeres. Kam Mishum Mechotzer, so an Erev Chatzeres can't be made outdoors, but it can be used as a Shtufim Vars. Amalei Abai Rav, Tanya Mitzayloch. Erev Chatzeres Bechotzer, the Erev Chatzeres has to be in the Chotzer, Shtufim Vars Bemovi. Vavinaba, and we learned this price, so we asked, Erev Chatzeres Bechotzer? Isn't Erev Chatzeres allowed to be put in the Chotzer? Vatanana Noisnes Aruva Beishach Sadim Apesas Ein Erev. So you can't leave it outdoors. Ema Aruva Chatzeres Beishach Bechotzer. The Aruva Chatzeres has to be left indoors. You can't leave it outdoors. Shtufim Vos can be left outdoors. Bechotzer Shemamavi. Now the Mefarshim explain why, if we're sitting together and explaining this thing on Friday afternoon, can we all rely on the bread on the table for Erev Chatzeres? So they explain like this. What's the point of Erev Chatzeres? Everyone has to contribute food to Erev Chatzeres. If we're all sitting together by one host, and the host gave us food, what does that mean? He's letting us have the food. So we're going to rely on it, we're giving our own food, because the host is letting us have the food. That's when he invited us, he gave us the food, it becomes ours. Rebbe Kiva Eger in the Tshuvas uses this Gemara for a raya, because we discussed many times if an Eruv Chatzeres could be made only with bread, or could other food items be used for Eruv Chatzeres. So he says, if you look in the language of the Braisa, B'nei of the halacha. B'nei habur shayam sum v'kiddush alayim pas shal ha-shulchan. So the braita goes out of its way to stress that you use the pas for the Erev, the bread for an Erev. Why doesn't, there's other food on the table, there's wine on the table, they're going to need to make Kiddush, it's Friday afternoon. So Rabbi Kiva Eger, from here you see that the Erev Chatzeres could only made with bread, no other food item.